Like to be covered in scratches and have the alluring musk of cat urine? Then you need Lynx Body Spray. The only body spray made of real lynxes. Open the top and be consumed by a whirling ball of angry feline. And you probably don't need those eyes anyway. So go to the dangerous goods area of your local supermarket and ask for Lynx by name. Lynx, the only body spray made of real lynxes. Lynx may give you rabies. Contact your doctor if you start to foam.
This is The Wretched, an actual play podcast of a game by Chris Bizet and played by Ben Maddox. Episode 4. A bit of housekeeping.
Undersea Cthulhu and me, Beric, Starspawn of Cthulhu. Well, Dad, isn't it great that we've got rid of that talentless bastard and now we're helming the podcast?
That's right. And we've decided that it's terrible the way monsters are treated on this show. Just because I've got tentacles on my face
and I've got a sphincter that shows ultraviolet light.
That's right, Derek. That's a thing about Starspawn you probably didn't know. That just because of that, we get persecuted. Well, we're here to change all of that. And this time, we're going to...
Excuse me?
What?
What the bloody hell do you think you're doing?
Quick, Derek, get out of here.
Hello? I'm dreadfully sorry about that. There's watery footprints all over the place. It seems that Cthulhu and his star-spawn son, Derek, decided to sneak in to the Five Games for Doomsday studio and take over the episode of The Wretched. But I'm back. And, you know, if you prefer Cthulhu to me hosting the show, just get on Twitter at FiveGames4Doomsday, hashtag Tulu4Life, hashtag More Derek, hashtag Ultraviolet Sphincters, and, you know, let me know. So, welcome, Wretched, episode 4, isn't this exciting? You know, I'm really shocked that someone as famous as Lord Cthulhu would want to host this show, but, you know, there we are. It's exciting, isn't it? He's very much, when it comes to monsters' rights, he's very much the Gary Lineker of the tentacle-faced undersea gods, isn't he? Cthulhu. Anyway, so yeah, last episode of The Wretched. I'm sat here frankly gasping to have a sip of my tea, but I just can't stop talking, so hang on, I'm just going to have a sip of my tea. Yeah, so last episode of The Wretched, he was talking about a lady he wanted to maybe bump uglies with, and then she said some crazy stuff and that, and he didn't tell his crewmates and he feels guilty about it. But now, a ship bumped in. I don't know what the ship is, and I don't know what's going to happen with the ship, because, you know, I haven't rolled the die and got the prompts and that. So, but, you know, this is The Wretched. There's a creature, they've eaten all my mates, I'm the last survivor, and I roll the die for as many prompts as I get, and then I go through the prompts. And as you know, I've got my packet of cards here that I draw. And I've also... Hang on. I'll just get him back. Oi.
Who? Me?
Yeah. Yeah, can you come back in a second?
Why?
Just... Can... Can you come?
I suppose, but can Derek come as well?
Yeah, Derek can come with you, but just you talk. Would you?
Right, yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, so what I want you to do is, can you explain to the listeners what kind of dye that we're using?
Of course. I have endowed this episode and yay series of The Wretched with the Cthulhu die, with the evil elder sign on the number 6. It is not because I wish a malign influence on the planet that I speak to you, but monsters have hearts too. I'm a father.
That's right, and apart from the AC/DC, he's a very good father.
Thank you, Derek.
And also, don't listen to what they say about him. When there's things under the sea, it's not Cthulhu farting. Although sometimes he is, and you don't want to be in the room after Sunday dinner while he's got the grump.
Derek, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Derek. You can go outside and turn on the Cthulhu-mobile now, please.
All right, Dad.
Well, just letting you know that we used the Cthulhu die. Cthulhu out. Peace.
And there he goes. He's got a really nice pair of Adidas trainers on. That's something you wouldn't have thought about Cthulhu. You wouldn't have thought they'd have made him in his size. But yeah, lovely pair of gazelles he's wearing there. Anyway, so yes. So, with that preamble out the way, what we're going to do is we're going to roll the die, see how many prompts we get, plan it and that, then I'll go away and write it, and then we'll record it and I'll do some acting and that. Just have a sip of my tea. Oh, and for the listeners, I'm going to be honest with you. In the couple of weeks, in the pause between recording episodes, I did happen to knock the Jenga tower down a bit. I'm sorry about that, but I pulled loads of blocks, so it's about the same as where it was. And, you know, you're getting the idea of how to play the game. I'm not cheating. I didn't pull fewer. Just get off my case, all right? Just get off my case. I knocked the bloody Jenga tower over. This is a game that's got to have a bloody Jenga tower up for, like, months and that. Don't blame me. It's not my bloody fault. Is it? Anyway, so, yes, I'm going to roll the Cthulhu die now, and then we're going to see how many prompts we're doing. All right, here we go. So that's 4. I rolled a 4. That means I've got to draw 4 cards. Art so excited. And I'm probably going to have to draw a lot from the Jenga tower this time as recompense for having it knocked over during the week. So just get in the computer app. I've got my notes page up and I've got the Wretched book, which I bought, by the way. And, you know, if you want to help support content like this, you know, I have to buy the RPG books and all of that sort of stuff. You can go to patreon.com/5G4D. Just, you know, you can back me at any level. Every little helps. And, you know, I can buy more RPG books. And also, you know, maybe if I get Cthulhu as a regular guest host, I'm probably going to have to put him up. Because the thing is, I live in Berlin. And Berlin's landlocked, so there's not a lot of undersea for Cthulhu to live in. And Rillier's bloody miles away. He's not going to commute from bloody Rillier to the 5G4D studios. So, you know, go on to Patreon, patreon.com/5G4D. Help the show, back the show, more Cthulhu. And if you want more Cthulhu, at 5Games4Doomsday on the Twitter, #MoreCthulhu, #Cthulhu4Life, #Derek, #UltravioletRectum. All right, so first card is the 5 of Spades, the 5 of Spades. And as we know, as I'll remind you, hearts represent your ship's systems, diamonds, your ship's physical structures, clubs, the crew, and spades represent the creature. So this is the 5 of Spades. Isn't this exciting? Let's have a look. Something happened to the lights when the creature was near your hiding place. What was it? Okay. And it says pull from the tower. So here we go. Yeah, I've just got the drummer in the corner ready to do the drum roll. And go. And I'm pulling, and it's from the middle. I'm pulling, and it's fine, although the tower's quite wobbly today. But I do it, and Bob on the drums. There we go. Yeah, so something happened to the lights when the creature was near your hiding place. What was it? Okay, I think the lights glow with an increased phosphorescence. An increased phosphorescence when it walks by. So what's going to happen is he's going to be in one of the hiding places that he mentioned in one of the episodes. And the creature is going to... The creature is going to have walked by outside. He hasn't gained entrance to the thing. And the lights, it's not just that they glow brighter, but they have a sort of almost illuminous, you know, like glow-in-the-dark shit, like an illuminous tinge when it walks by. And he's going to decide to use that as a method of being able to track where the creature is at any point in time. He's going to rig lights. Because what he's doing now is planning to go outside and interface with the ship. So he's got to do a spacewalk. So what he's going to try and do, because the creature is attracted to the music and it runs to the music, and then he's going to try and use the phosphorescence, maybe on like a rope connected to his spacesuit when he's walking and that, to warn him of the creature's imminent arrival. So the lights glow with an increased phosphorescence when it walks. So I think this, I see this week, unless it pushes me in a particular direction, as talking about his plans to go out and interface with the ship. So we have the Nine of Hearts, and as we know, it's my personal health and that, the hearts. So, let's have a look. The Nine of Hearts, made some tarts. It says pull from the tower, it's bloody unfair. All right, I'm going to read it out first. The proximity alarm keeps sounding because the creature is on the outside of the ship. You had to disable them. So I don't know why you would, but you've got to do it. So he's also getting a bit frazzled. And so he's going to sort of talk about how it's doing his fucking head in, basically. And so he disables them. And I think he's going to have hurt himself. And that's what pulling from the tower represents. Oh, God, this is very rickety. But I'm pulling from the middle. Bob on the drums, go. I'm pulling from the middle, it's coming out, it's extending quite erotically out of the Jenga tower, and I put it on, and boom. And Bob stops with a cymbal crash. Okay, that's the second card, so I'm going to write down. He is frayed and disconnects the alarms because they are doing his noodle in. There we go. Because they are doing his noodling. Okay, third card. This is very exciting. We have the Six of Diamonds. I'd like six diamonds. Then I buy myself some nice trainers or something. I did buy myself some nice trainers recently. I bought some slip-ons because I felt like having some slip-ons in the Vans slip-on style. But they're a special edition Sweep It Into Space Dinosaur Jr. pair of trainers. They're lovely. I'll take a picture. Put them up on Twitter and that. I don't think you care, do you? You don't care. It's so self-obsessed, isn't it? Isn't modern influencing so self-obsessed? Like, you see these people, and a lot of them, if you go on Instagram, for instance, they're just attractive people going, "Ah, yeah, woke up this morning, had some porridge and that, then just going out, I'll take my top off." And, you know, very, very self-indulgent. Modern social media. So what are we looking at? Six of Diamonds. Went to the Pymans. Oh, pull from the tower again. Bloody hell. It's unbelievable. The sewage silo springs a leak. It smells terrible. You fix it as quickly as humanely possible. Okay, so basically, he's going to talk about interfacing. Because I quite enjoyed what I talked about last week. That they're essentially ruled by a military invasion that happened a few years ago. And he's going to talk about that, but also he's going to talk about, you know, it's going to be a maintenance week on the Wretched. Oof, it's getting harder to find Jenga blocks. This is rough. This is rough, this. Okay, there's one. Okay, Bob on the drums. Let's play that. Oof, oof, this is rough, this. And I'm only doing it with one hand because I'm not cheating. But there we go, and Bob. Boom, there we go. And so, maintenance day in the Wretched. And he's going to sort of moan about it because it's not his thing. And it's going to moan and reveal stuff. I'm really good at this pitching. It's great. I'm great at pitching stuff. This is why I'm a millionaire, because I pitch. All right, final time. The Eight of Hearts. Eight tarts for me. All right, where are we? The Eight of Hearts. It doesn't say pull from the tower, thank God, because the tower's looking very rickety now. What does it feel like to look at the sensors and monitors and see nothing? How does it feel to know that you may never see land light or have a conversation again? Okay, that's a good one. That's the kind of stuff. So, post-radar ship. It has been exceptionally quiet. He has grown dependent on the quiet, which is why he disconnects stuff. Muse on the nature of life and that. That's my note. Muse on the nature of life and that. That'll be interesting to find out what musing on the nature of life actually translates to. Well, anyway, so I'd like to thank you for listening to the show. I'd like to thank my sponsor, Lynx Body Spray, the only body spray made entirely from lynxes, and Cthulhu and his star son spawn, Derek, for, well, I mean, they hijacked the show, but frankly, to be honest, I last week when Cthulhu was on the show, we went for a drink after the recording, had a little trouble getting in through the doors of the pub, of course, because he's a big lad, old Cthulhu. And Derek was driving and he just said, Dave, I'll just, stay in the car, play Miss Switch. He's really into Luigi's Mansion 3 at the moment, Derek. And me and Cthulhu went out and we had a pint. Well, I had a pint of beer and he had a
flagon of the soul of eternal torment.
And, he's a nice, underneath the tentacles and the barnacles and the octopus testicles. He's actually a very nice guy, Cthulhu. And I think, you know, so he met H.P. Lovecraft in the 30s after Lovecraft had published Call of Cthulhu. And he met him at a party. Bloody awkward for Howard Phillips, to be honest, because he doesn't portray him in the best light in the story. And, like, I expect Cthulhu to say, "And I sapped his soul, and that is why he died young." But actually Cthulhu went up and just said, Howard Phillips, I think you're a great writer. You've got a lot of talent. You use words like Stygian." He really loves the word Stygian, Cthulhu. "But, you know, I think you were off in your representation of me." And Lovecraft owned it. And he said, "Yeah, no, fair enough. Sorry about that. I only sold it for 20 quid anyway, and I see no royalties on it." And, you know, after that, they were all right, Cthulhu and Howard Phillips. And they'd occasionally meet for afternoon tea. And one time, Howard went to Rillier. Wrote in his journal that he thought it was a barnacle-encrusted shithole. But, you know, that's how Cthulhu likes it. He's casual that way. Anyway, so thank you for listening. As I said, you can back the show at patreon.com/5G4D. You can go on Twitter. You can tag me and say you love it. You love the Cthulhu anecdotes. You can, buy me a pint if you see me at a convention. I'm recording this just before going to LyriaCon. And if there's anyone here listening to this who's going to LyriaCon, please feel free to come up to me at LyriaCon, buy me a pint and say hello. Also, Discord, go to 5gamesfordoomsday.com, click on the pinned post, it'll have a link to join the Discord server. And then we're having a chat about the nature and meaning at the moment. It's all very edifying. So, thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy it. And just leaves me to say, I'm going to go and write it. So, editing Ben here from the past. I do it every time. I forgot to roll the bloody Cthulhu die to see if the fucking beacons are working. So, here we go. Roll a six. I bloody did it. I rolled a six. 3 out of 4 times. That's a 75% success rate. So, I have 7 things left on the beacons. Just 7 more sixes. And the fucking Jenga Tower aren't going to last that long. But 7 more sixes. And I'm surviving. All right. So, this is editing, Ben. I've actually written it. Now, you get to the recording. Enjoy.
Day 4. Salvage ship. The Wretched. Ship's Dr. Ben Maddox reporting. It sits out there, darling. That ship. Their ship. I've tried to connect with them, but whether the ship is empty or the comms are broken, I don't know, because whenever I send out a signal, I can't hear a thing. I can't hear a thing.
Can't hear a thing.
Darling, I can't hear a thing. Oh, you must be thinking that your dad has gone mad. But I can't hear a thing. No insistent beeping of the radar, no scuttling of that thing outside, just the general hum of a salvage ship. It's funny. For the first time since this happened, I've had a moment of calm. Anxious because I feel calm, you know, I mean, it's ludicrous. After their ship hove into view, all was silent. It's been silence ever since, the endless eons of nothing. I speak to you through these messages, but I don't know if you'll hear them. They take hours to reach the Earth, and anything could happen. I don't suppose the Corporation will let you hear them anyway. I'm just a resource to them, and since when have humans treated their resources with any dignity? I slept in the cubby underneath the pilot's chair last night. I needed to feel safe. Those cold aluminium walls felt like they gave me some protection. And I think it was because after seeing the ship, I expected more of them to come, and none did. And it hit me like a smack in the gut. Whether it be from that thing outside, that ship, the lack of food, or my own hands, I'm going to die out here. If you ever hear these words, they will have to serve as some sort of farewell, because I'm going to die out here. You should have seen me in that little aluminium box. A sudden serenity flooded over me. I must have looked like a dirty Buddhist monk in overalls in that little box. Eyes shut, communing with nothing. All I hoped was that you wouldn't be too hurt. That you'd remember your silly old dad, and maybe one day, in the future, you'd be free. Really free, like I was when I was your age. I really accepted my death then. In that moment, I felt calm. Now, of course, nothing good ever lasts. It started with a faint smell. Strangely, not bad at first. It smelled, how can I put it, human. Then it hit me in the nostrils. Shit, darling. Rotten human shit. I mean, it fair yanked me out of my reverie. I climbed out of the cubby, and there was this green slurry on the floor. I mean, the bastard sewage pipes had burst. Then the bloody sirens went off to warn me, and I was so angry, I remember the ship yanking the wires out, and I bloody killed them. Silly sod. So I cleaned up the shit and the piss off the floor, and then I heard that vile scuttling. And the lights around me started to increase in intensity, and they developed a hue, a strange hue. It was the colour of those glow-in-the-dark stars you had on your ceiling when you were little. Then it occurred to me, I could go out to that ship. I could rig up lights, distract the thing, rig up lights, and it would give me some sort of warning signal. Now I don't quite know what to do after I've been warned, but just that idea, it was a jolt, a kick up the arse. I could stand in an aluminium box and accept my death. Or I could bloody do something. I could head out into space and get into that ship. Maybe it works. Maybe I could get out of here. I'm happy. Darling, it's strange, I know, but having a purpose is so much better than the sterile serenity of acceptance. I have a lot to do, so I should go. But know that I love you, and if I can, I'll get back and see you and hold you and... But you could tell me what a fool I am. All right. This is Ben Maddox, ship's doctor, signing off.
All music by Chris Bizet. The game can be bought at lootheroom.itch.io. If you want to support the podcast, you can do that by going to patreon.com/5G4D.
Thank you for listening.